All right. Well, welcome to Hoboken Grace. If this is your first time with us, my name is Chris High. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And the last time you saw me, I was the father of two little boys. But today, as I stand before you, I am the father of three little boys. And this past Monday, Cole High entered the world. And I want to be honest with you because I've been honest with you about my previous two children and just how incredibly awful it is to have children and specifically the process of them coming into this world. But I have to tell you, this one has been phenomenal, like crazy easy up to this point. And we're praying every night that nothing changes. Please let nothing change. Please let nothing change. But he's just been amazing. And usually it takes Anna about 26 to 32 hours to have a baby. But with Cole, it took about six. It was amazing. And the whole thing has just been phenomenal. So thank you so much for those of you who are praying for us. And one day I'll walk you through the story of just everything that God's been working on in me coming out of the birth of Cale and then coming into the birth of Cole. This is just some pretty phenomenal things, and just a lot to be able to celebrate of who he is and what he's doing in our family right now. For those of you who weren't with us last week we began a conversation called Overwhelming Christmas. And one of the things that we found as we approach the holiday of Christmas is that for most of us, if not all of us, Christmas can become pretty quickly pretty overwhelming. And this idea that we're supposed to enjoy Christmas for a lot of us can be really difficult. And as I said last week after Anthony spoke, I'm a recovering Scrooge. I worked for UPS for far too long to enjoy Christmas, and so for a lot of my life, I really hated Christmas. I despised the idea of Christmas coming, but slowly but surely, I'm getting back to this place where I can enjoy it and where I look forward to Christmas. And to me, this is actually an intentional journey because I want to be able to enjoy Christmas. I actually think it's important to enjoy Christmas. I think that this is a huge part of how we get to celebrate who God is and how God came for us and how we get to how we experience that and celebrate that together. And so I want to get to the point where I can really enjoy Christmas. And this has been several years in the making for me of just trying to figure out, okay, how can I get back to this idea of Christmas being the most wonderful time of the year? And we're together as a family and in our faith that we can really celebrate this moment when Jesus Christ comes, when God becomes man, when he comes to bring us back to him. And last week we began this conversation and looked at the event of Christmas and how if we're looking for the event of Christmas to bring us joy, then we're always going to be left wanting. We're always going to be sold a little bit short because the joy of Christmas isn't found in the event. And how if we want to, in some way, shape, or form, begin to make our way back to experiencing Christmas for what it is, then we have to move away from this idea of being overwhelmed by the event of Christmas and go back to being overwhelmed once again by the love of Christmas and beginning to bring that into the lives of those around us. But even if we're walking into this season with this mindset of experiencing that phenomenal love and then bringing that love to those around us, the truth is that we have a problem. You have a problem. I have a problem. We all have a problem. And for some of us, this problem is bigger than others. And this problem can show up in all sorts of different ways in our lives. Sometimes this problem is expected. Sometimes this problem catches us completely off guard. But we have a problem. And when I talk to people about the holidays and what's going to happen throughout the holidays and Christmas, there's this word that comes up. And throughout the rest of the year, it seems that it's a pretty decent word. But for some reason, around Christmas time, it becomes almost a curse word. It's almost like there's a new F word when you come to this specific time of the year. And people will be talking about their plans and everything. They'll be really excited about it. They'll be like, yeah, I'm doing this, and I'm excited about this. And then this word will come up, and it seems that everything begins to go downhill. It seems that immediately things begin to kind of trail off into a, oh, I'm not sure, I'm and this uncomfortableness. And do you guys know what the word is? Come on, you know. Family. Family. And you'll be talking about your plans, and man, I'm excited about this, I'm going to do this. And then, oh, family. Then I got to spend some time with my family. And even for those who actually have great families, it's interesting because you'll talk to them before the holidays, and they'll be excited about spending time with family. Yeah, I'm going to go see my family. And then you talk to them after the holidays, like, yeah, I saw my family. And there's just this drop off, and you're like, what's happening? And there's so much wrapped up in this idea of family. And for some reason, especially around Christmas, it's just this loaded topic. It's this loaded area of our lives. And this problem shows up in all sorts of different ways. For some of us, we just have really broken families. And we were talking last week about the scars of Christmas. And for some of us, when it comes to the scars, most of them revolve around family. And the things that we've experienced in our family in past Christmases is just devastating. But for others of us, it shows up differently, because the problem of family is not that we've been hurt by them, but that there is none. And we have no family. And so we walk into Christmas and we want to experience family, but there's no one. We don't have a family. And then for others of us, like I said, maybe you walk into it and you have a good family, but then there's just that one thing that's said, or this one thing happens over here, and all of a sudden things begin to get a little bit out of whack, and things aren't working exactly how you'd hoped that they'd worked, and things aren't going exactly the way that you'd hoped that they would go. It's weird. It's very almost strange how loaded this idea of family can become, especially around Christmas. So what do we do about that? Because I don't know if it's true for you, but for me, I found it to be true over and over again. It can so easily keep me from being able to really enjoy Christmas. And sometimes it's the fear of it or the experience of it, but it can keep me from being able to celebrate this unbelievable moment when Jesus Christ came for me. This huge reminder of this monumental point in our journey of faith, when Jesus Christ came for me. How do we interact with this idea of family in such a way that it allows us to actually celebrate Christmas more, as opposed to take away from the celebration of Christmas? I remember growing up, I loved family, especially when it came time for Christmas, because my dad has tons of brothers and sisters, and so we would all get together for Christmas, and I had a lot of cousins that were right at my same age, and so we loved getting together for Christmas and playing together, and you guys have heard some of my stories about my family, and so you know my family's a little bit crazy, and one of the things that I loved about Christmas that I knew was going to happen almost every year, and I look forward to so much, is that at Christmas, we'd all get together. And at some point in the night, the uncles would get all the cousins together, and they would take us to the basement, and they'd set up the chairs, and they'd just kind of be around in a circle, and whether they were new ones that we got that year, or whether someone brought them from home, there were always boxing gloves. And so they'd hand out the boxing gloves, and they'd pick two cousins, and they'd send them into the middle. Go! And you just start beating on each other, right? Yeah. Until someone started crying, and they'd pull that cousin out and give the gloves to another cousin. Go! And they just go in and just start beating on one another. Like, it was amazing. I know some of you are here and you're like, wow, that's like abusive. No, it was amazing. And we had so much fun, and I loved family. I loved getting together. We played football, and it was awesome. One of the things I loved most about Christmas was family. But then you start to grow up. And I don't know if some of you can relate to this or not. I think a lot of us can. You start to grow up, and then you start to learn why that uncle always sits on the opposite side of the circle from that one. And then all of a sudden, the things that were hid from you in your family, the conversations that took place upstairs when the kids were downstairs, all of a sudden, you begin to be part of those conversations. And you hear the fights and the ugly things that are said. And you grow up, and all of a sudden you realize that that family that you loved, that you thought was so phenomenal, so amazing, everybody just loved each other, it didn't actually exist. And I remember growing up and experiencing that, and there was just this unbelievable hole that seemed to show up inside of me as I realized that I thought I was a part of this really unbelievable, loving, wonderful family, but it's turning out not to be so much so. And I struggled with that, especially with Christmas, because you couldn't look forward to family the way that you did before. You come in, and you come in a little bit skeptical and maybe a little bit nervous of what was going to happen or what was going to be said. And maybe for some of you, that's your experience as well. You kind of had the illusion, and the illusion was taken away from you. Or maybe for others of you, there was just never any illusion whatsoever. There was nothing that was hidden from you. You just knew from the very beginning all of the ugliness and brokenness. Or as I said, for some of you, maybe you never experienced it at all. But what I've found with people who don't have family is that they often look at other people's families and they begin to build an illusion that, man, I wish I could be like that. And I think there's something inside of every single one of us that just, this deep longing, this craving to be a part of a loving, unbelievable family. We want it so bad. And Christmas seems to heighten that to levels that are unlike any other time in the year. There's something about Christmas where we are so unbelievably acutely aware of that desire and that craving. And so we walk into the holiday, and I think part of the problem and part of why we experience so much pain as it relates to this idea of family in Christmas is that we have so much inside of us that is craving that. And so it's even more difficult when we don't find it. It's even more difficult when we're faced with the fact that we don't have it. So what do we do about that? Do you just ignore it? Do you just move on? But it seems that it's built into me. I want to take you to the story of Christmas today because I think there's something in the story of Christmas that actually speaks to this. And I think that you have to look at the entire story that God's telling in order to be able to understand all of it. But I think that there's something in the story of Christmas that speaks to this. And I think that God wants to be able to say to you and to me, as we enter into this Christmas and as we interact with this idea of family and this longing that we have to be part of a family like that. It's interesting to me when you come to the story of Christmas, specifically as you talk about family, because Christmas takes place in the midst of a broken family. The moment of Christmas takes place in the midst of this unbelievably broken family. And this is why you have to go back to the larger story, because in order for you to understand just how broken the family was, you have to look at the larger story and understand that from the very beginning, God created us to be part of a family. And that He wanted to be able to bring us into this unbelievably loving family. But rather than us accepting that, rather than us living in that, rather than us enjoying that, we decided that we wanted to be part of another family, that we wanted to go on our own way. I mean, when the Bible talks about how broken it was in Romans chapter 5:10, when it's talking about how he restored us, it talks about just how broken the family was. And so in Romans 5:10, it says, For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son while we were still his enemies. When we're talking about the brokenness of the family, we're not talking about just like a few rifts here or there. We're talking about enemies. That this family had come to the point where it was literally, we were enemies with our father. We were enemies with the one who had created us. We're actually actively working against him. And as you read through his story, you see this unbelievable story of a God who created us to be part of this family, but then rather than accepting that, we actually turn on him. You can't get more broken than the family that he intends to create. It's gone horribly wrong. I mean, horribly, horribly, horribly wrong. To the point where there's a couple points at which God is very close to just saying, you know what, I'm done with it. I'm just going to walk away. I'm done. But he doesn't. And into the midst of this unbelievably broken family, we find Christmas. In the middle of this unbelievable story of broken families, we find Christmas. And through the whole book, God is trying to heighten our awareness of the fact that family is broken. Not just that this larger family is broken, but that every single family that you experience because of that is broken. I challenge you with something. I've challenged all of our services, and we actually had this conversation several months ago inside of our speaking team meeting as we were preparing for Father's Day. I don't know if you realize this or not, but there is not one story of one healthy family in this entire book. Did you know that? I challenge you to find the story of one family that's mentioned in more than five verses, right? Because it's not just like they just mentioned them just here, like on three lines, but where they actually tell you about the family. Find one story of one healthy family. It's not in here. Doesn't exist. As a matter of fact, as we looked at it, we couldn't find one example of a good father in the whole book. Even when you look at the story of Joseph, you get very little of what he actually does as a father. If you begin to look through it, every time you see God telling the story of a family, you see that it's broken. Because God's not trying to hide this. He's trying to magnify it. He's trying to help us understand. No, listen. The family is unbelievably broken. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you are. The same thing is true about you and your family as well. And into the midst of this, we find Christmas. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 1. Because I think there's something just unbelievably beautiful inside of Matthew chapter 1. And I think it helps us to be able to understand just the complexity of Christmas and the craziness of Christmas. Every time I come back to study through the story of Christmas, I'm amazed and almost overwhelmed by just the utter craziness of Christmas. Listen to how Matthew describes the birth of Jesus Christ, starting in verse 18. It says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. So, as you're looking at this story, you see this unbelievably broken family, and you see all these other families that are broken because of it. And into the midst of that, God steps into the lives of two people, Mary and Joseph. They're engaged to be married, and Mary gets pregnant. This doesn't go over well, okay? Imagine just for a second the conversations that take place after they find out that Mary's pregnant. None of them go well. But Joseph decides that he's going to be the upstanding guy, and he's going to, rather than going public with it, he's just going to, I'm done, I'm calling it off. And Mary's like, no, an angel came to me in a dream and said, and I'm sure if any of us are Joseph, we're like, yeah, an angel, right? That's what it was. An angel came to you. There's no way you're going to buy that story. And she's like, no, seriously, this is what happened, and I didn't. But Joseph believes she's cheated on him. I mean, this is how God decides to do it. This is crazy. It's crazy. And so they're engaged. She gets pregnant. And I love that God doesn't tell Joseph beforehand. You could have given me a heads up. Right? Like you could have filled me in before it happened, before we had the fights, before this whole thing goes down. Listen to how the story continues. It says, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Just as an aside, really quickly, continuing with the story of Joseph, have you ever put yourself in Joseph's shoes? Just the unbelievable amount of faith that it took for Joseph to continue this journey. It's amazing. It's amazing. Because everyone's going to know. Pregnancy is one of those things. You don't get to hide it very easily. Everyone is going to know. They're going to count the months. They're going to know. And no one's going to buy it when you say to them, yeah, but an angel came to me. And you say, but an angel came to me in a dream. There are so many stories in this book of angels who come to people and say, listen, this is what God's doing, and they don't believe them. But Joseph does. And so he decides to take Mary back and to have this baby. What a beautiful little family, isn't it? I mean, this is a crazy family. This is a crazy family situation. And then on top of that, not only are they just getting married, but they're just getting married and they're going to have a kid right away. For those of you who aren't married yet, let me suggest something to you. Don't do that. It doesn't work well. This is a crazy family situation. And in this story of this larger broken family, you see this crazy family situation. And God inserts himself in the midst of this. And I want to finish this passage really quickly here, because as he finishes it, I think there's just something unbelievably beautiful about this. And just the craziness of it, the brokenness of it. Listen to what it says as it continues. It says, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. This unbelievably large, crazy story about this broken family, these crazy circumstances with these two individuals and how this whole thing plays out. And in the midst of that, God says, listen, I'm going to do something amazing right now. And it's all about family. Because I want to be with you. Now, the full implication of this won't be understood for quite some time. And for many of us who've been exposed to this message of Jesus Christ or who've been in church in our lives, I don't think we understand the fullness of what Jesus Christ came to bring to you and to me, and how powerful this phrase Emmanuel is, and what's meant here as he's saying, okay, God is going to be with you. Because we think that this was available to people for all of time. That is a huge mistake. That is not true. When you go back before Jesus Christ, people did not have the opportunity to have a relationship with God the way that you do. God dwelled in a temple. And if you wanted to talk to God, you had to go through a priest. You could not go directly to him. You had no access to him. You had to go through a priest in order to be able to talk to him, and that priest would come back and tell you what he had to say. And as you look throughout the entire Old Testament, the way the relationship that you had with God is that God was a king, he was a lord, he was a master, he was a God. And so there was this understanding that he was deeply involved. There's an understanding that he was pursuing. There's an understanding that he loved. But at the same time, there was always a distance. There was always a separation between God and his people. And the full reality of what Jesus Christ was doing and what was going to happen because of the fact that he came so that we could be forgiven was not understood until after he had given his life on the cross years and years later. And when he gives his life on that cross, the veil in the temple is torn. And it's this symbol that, listen, there's nothing that will ever come between me and my people again. Jesus is trying to prepare his followers for this when he's talking to them about how they're going to relate to God. And so he's teaching them how to pray. He says, when you pray, I want you to pray this way, Father, our Father who art in heaven. When he started off the prayer that way, it would have shocked everyone who heard it. Because no one, called God Father before Jesus Christ. No one. That relationship wasn't possible. The family was broken. Until Emmanuel. Until in the midst of this broken family and this crazy situation, Jesus Christ is born. So that once again, your dad could be with you. And the story of Christmas, the purpose of Christmas, the mission of Christmas is just that, Emmanuel. That your dad wants to be with you and to have you be with him. And if you get nothing else out of today, I hope you understand the impact of what is being said in this passage and the impact of this word that your dad wants to be with you. A couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to be able to speak with some Seton Hall students, and I'm still kind of a little bit off coming out of the conversation. It was really disturbing to me. Because as I talked to these individuals about who God was, and as they asked me questions, and we talked back and forth about how God works and what God was about, it was unbelievable to me how their entire concept of God was that there's this power out there who's trying to, in some way, shape, or form, establish some type of morality. And that his whole goal and mission is to establish a moral code for people to be able to live by. And it broke my heart because they don't understand Christmas. Christmas wasn't about morality or a moral code. Christmas was about a dad who wants to be with his family. And who sent his only son to bring you back to him, to restore the family, that he could be with you and you with him. This is the story of Christmas. This is how he came for you. And there are unbelievable implications in our lives when we begin to realize that this is what he's doing, that this is what he wants. and unbelievable implications into how we can experience and move through Christmas. Because when you begin to understand that you have a dad who wants to be with you and you with him, when you begin to understand that you've been brought into this family, then if you place your faith in Jesus Christ and what he eventually does on that cross and how he gives his life for you, when you place your faith in that, you are part of that family that you crave. You are brought into that family that you so crave. And if you will celebrate him as you move through this Christmas, you can begin to experience that family. There is nothing that keeps you from experiencing that family this Christmas season. Nothing. And the implications of that on our lives personally are phenomenal. And we talk about this a lot at Hoboken Grace, the family and how God is moving to restore the family and how we get to be part of bringing that to those around us. We talk about that and the implications of how it affects our heart. We talk about it in the implications of how we can come to him. There's unbelievable number of implications in our lives, but there's a huge implication in how we interact with our biological families because of it. And that specifically impacts how you experience Christmas and the family that God's given you, the biological family that God's given you. Because if you continue to look to them to be that family, if you continue to look to them to in any way, shape, or form satisfy that craving that you have to be a part of that loving family, you will never be able to enjoy them and you will never be able to enjoy Christmas because they can't do it. And asking them to do it isn't even fair. There's not one single example in this entire book of a family who could. They can't. And that's okay. Because you're a part of another family. And in those moments when they don't love you and they don't value you, and in those moments when all of a sudden you realize that that loving family is not what you thought it was. And maybe for some of you, you still think that. You still think and you still find your love and your value and your identity from that family, and you still think that that's who your family is. I want to let you know something. If you don't begin to move away from that and begin to understand that, no, God is the one who wants to be with you, the one who will never fail you, who will never leave you, that this is your ultimate family. There will come a day when your family, no matter who they are, no matter how great they are, that they're going to let you down. That they're going to fail you. That they're not going to be there. And if you continue to look to them to be that, then in that moment you're going to hit a wall. But if you will allow God to be your family, to understand that you have a Father and God the Father, and that you have Jesus Christ as your brother who's walking through this with you, and the Spirit of God who lives inside you, if you will allow him to be that ultimate family for you, then you can begin to move into the lives of those in your biological family. And rather than needing for them to be something for you, or needing for them to bring something to you, or to give something, or to speak something into you, rather than needing something from them, you can just enjoy them for who they are, understanding their brokenness, and love them. But when we don't, there's so much pressure. And I don't know if you guys can relate to this or not, but I remember a huge turning point in this, in my life, and me understanding this, and me beginning to make this transition in my life, is when I would step into those moments with my family, and they would do something stupid. And they would say something stupid, something would go wrong, there'd be a big fight, and I'd walk out, and I'd be so frustrated, and I'd be so angry. And in a lot of ways, it would almost devastate me. And I walked out of those situations and I began to look at it and I realized that I wasn't upset because I cared about them. I wasn't upset because of how that decision was going to impact them. I was upset because of how it impacted me. Because I wanted to be part of a loving, beautiful family. And they just upset that. But when I begin to allow the family that God's brought me to be part of to be that family for me, then in those moments, I don't need them to be something that they're not. And in those moments, I can reach out to help, but not so that in some way, shape, or form, I can restore this biological family, but so that I can love that person. So I can care for that person. As you walk through this Christmas season, the message of Christmas is Emmanuel. That your dad wants to be with you, and you with him. That you are part of an unbelievable, wonderful, amazing family. And you get to experience that with him in all of its beauty. And not only that, but for those of you who are here today and you say you have no family, and the difficulty of Christmas is that you just there's no one, and you so long to be able to spend that with someone. Not only can you spend it with him, but I want you to know something today as you look around this room. This is our family. And a huge part of what we're working towards and why this is so important is that we get to be that family to one another and to the cities in which God has planted us. This is our family. And the truth is, this part of our family, it's still broken. And the truth is, I would love to tell you that this part of our family is never going to let you down, but they will too. But part of the beauty of the journey that we're on is that we get to walk through this together and practice forgiveness and reconciliation and grace. And that in all of it, for every one of us, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt at every moment that we have a dad who wants to be with us. That we have that family. And that one day that family will be complete. So we can begin to move into the lives of the families that God's given us, no matter how broken they are, no matter wherever they are. And rather than needing something from them, be able to bring what God's given us and just love them. And maybe even sometimes enjoy them. Because our Heavenly Father has given us the best family we could ever hope for. Will you pray with me? Father, I just want to celebrate that family today. I thank you that we get to be part of this. I thank you that you came in the midst of that brokenness to bring us back. Thank you for this truth, this beautiful truth of Emmanuel, that you wanted to be with us, that the brokenness was not acceptable to you, and so you came for us. To not just rule over us, to not just be our God, but to be our dad. To satisfy that craving and that longing that you created within us. For you. For our family. In Jesus' name. Amen.